Acts chapter 10. I want to share on the entrance of thy words today. In Acts chapter 10 is a wonderful record of Peter. You guys are well aware of this record, where God gives him revelation concerning the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, and whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited continually on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and they drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance or saw a vision, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The situation here, God gave Peter some information. He gave Peter his word. And he said to him, Peter, I want you to rise and kill and eat these animals you're seeing. And Peter said, I have never done that because those animals were unclean to a Judean. So Peter had certain information in his mind. And then other information was coming into his mind now, which was from God. When that happens in life, and it does happen and all the time, is we have a choice to make when God's word comes into our mind. In this case here, it was contrary to what Peter was normally, what Peter normally thought. I think you'll find that many times God's word is contrary to what people think. So you got a choice here. And Peter said, so verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again, and the second time. And he said, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. In other words, I just told you not to call it uncommon. You're still calling it uncommon. I'm telling you, what God has cleansed, don't you call common. This was done three times. Three times. Revelation to him said, Listen, when I said it's clean, you believe that it's clean. See the interesting deliberation that goes on in a man's mind when God's word comes in. You know, let's keep reading. Now, while Peter, verse 17, doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee, and rise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then he called them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. During this time, do you think it's possible that Peter is thinking about this vision that was shown to him three times. Three times God impressed upon him, this is the truth. And three times, you know, Peter's thinking in his mind, well, that's not what I've normally been trained to think. That's not what I think. So now I've got a choice to make. Verse 25 and 24. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and said, look, stand up. I'm a man too. And as he talked with him, verse 27, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Judean to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. See, he had come to the point that the deliberation had allowed God's word to change his mind. And if you read the rest of that record, what happens? The household of Cornelius receives God's word. They get born again. They speak in tongues. And the word of God is opened up to the Gentiles. Right? In John chapter 15. It's a great record. It highlights really all, what goes on in a man's mind or a woman's mind when the word of God is spoken. When we hear God's word, it's going to challenge your current thinking. And you may have been in God's word for 30, 40, 50 years, right? It doesn't matter. Because, I mean, we all know that there are promises in God's word that we still want to believe. We still want to see come to pass in our lives. And many times those things challenge our current thinking. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay ignorant? Or are we going to think God's way on those in those areas? In John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So prior to him having spoken the word to them, there was obviously some dirt in there that needed to be removed. How can words clean you? Because words come in, you remove the words that you shouldn't be there in your thinking, and you get clean by God's word. So in the other case, the way I look at it is, if you don't let God's word into your mind, you won't get rid of that dirt. It will not change. Your mind will not change, and you will live your life in unbelief. If God hadn't shown Peter that information that was required to change his mind, then his mind would have stayed the same. The Gentiles wouldn't have heard of God's word from Peter, wouldn't have had that blessing. Here, Jesus Christ said, you're clean through the word. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it shall abide in the vine. No more can you except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus Christ is the living word. He says, abide in me. Stay in the word. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathereth them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and what? My words, there it is, my words abide in you. You see, the word has to come in, and it has to live there. That's what abide means. The word has to come in, and it has to live there. You know, you may have been trying to believe a God's promise for 20 years in an area. You know, I know there are promises in God's word that I still want to see come to pass. So if I stop trying to let the word of God abide in me, and if I stop trying to let that word change my thinking, right, that dirt will stay there. But if I say, okay, what does it mean? You know, you think about it, you meditate on God's word, you go to it, you think about it, and you think about it, you think, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if we die trying. The point is, what are we doing with our mind when we hear God's word, when it contradicts what we think? Verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue my love. If you keep my commandments," you see over and over, it's the word of God, "you shall abide in my love," and so forth. In Psalm 119, there's a scripture I was thinking of when thinking about this. You know, are there certain areas in our lives that we are just not willing to change? Is there certain mental things that are sacred ground to us that are that we're just not willing to change? See, it's only we know that. Only we know if our thinking is wrong in some places. You know, I guarantee you, if the Word of God says something, and I have gone to the Word of God in an area, and I do not see what the Word of God says in that area, I do not believe that promise. There's no, it's not this modern, you know, culture of lack of accountability. No one's to blame. It's okay. Hey, wait a minute. I will look at myself and say, I don't understand this promise. I have not yet seen this come to pass. I'm going to do my darndest to try and understand what in my thinking needs to change to believe that promise. If I go down the route of society, which currently today, and it's gotten worse in the last 10 years, no one's accountable, doesn't matter, don't worry about it. It's got something to do with your relationship, something to do with your past, somehow you were ill-treated, you know, all that nonsense. When it comes right down to it, God says, if you believe this, this will happen. If this doesn't happen, guess what? You have not believed that, right? It stops, and it's very simple, very easy to understand. Then I can do something about it. But if it's got nothing to do with me, and that's not something I can't do, then what are you going to do if you're not accountable? Right. Psalm 119, 130 is a great verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words, not just the words, the entrance. The words have to enter. Jesus Christ said, abide in me. If my words abide in you, they got to get in there. They got to enter, and they got to abide. They got to stay there. We got to think about them. And we got to, you know, go to it and go to it and go to it, even if it challenges our thinking, especially if it challenges our thinking. Right? It giveth understanding unto the simple. This isn't the silly. This isn't the foolish. Or anything. It's just those who, you know, we have no guile in life. It's harmless. The Word of God gives understanding. The entrance of His words gives light. And if it contradicts what you currently think, or I currently think, it must replace what you currently think. We must allow the Word of God to enter and change the thinking where it is wrong. I don't care how many years we've been thinking wrongly in an area and how sacred we might think it to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy. I love these verses in Deuteronomy. Because God certainly gives great encouragement. Very simple, simple promises, but such power. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Think about that. You know, so you're standing outside and you see the stars, you say, hey, son or daughter, look up there. You know who made those things? God named the stars. You know that? You know when it rains? You know what it says in the Bible that God gives us rain and gives gladness in our hearts? You know, your life is a life of just speaking God's word to your children or to one another. Why? Because you want the kids' children's thinking to be right from day one. You want them to think God's words, because it's the entrance of God's words that gives light and understanding. So when they grow up, they see the stars. What do they think about? The first thing they think about? God. When they see hear the rain, they oh, God gave us the rain, blesses us. You know, all these things. And this is what God encouraged them in verse 10. He goes, so they wouldn't forget what he had done for them. You know, so as they grow, it's the word of God that gives light. It's the only thing. So the more of that we think about, the less dirt in our mind we will have to clean in Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, remember, you see a rainbow. I know we always talk about this in the car. You see a rainbow. We always, hey, look at that rainbow. What does a rainbow have to do with anything? You know, so you tell your children, well, it was the promise that God would remember, that, you know, and that he would never allow the earth to be destroyed again the way in which it was, right? And so every time you see a rainbow, despite what the world might want you to think, we think of God's promise. We think of God's blessings. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together. This is after Nehemiah had built the wall. They had finished the wall and completed the wall around Jerusalem. Gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. They brought God's word out. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Most people today would not even be able to handle that. Right? Yet here we have Ezra brings the word of God out, and he speaks it to them for 3 hours at least. If we say 9 o'clock is morning and midday is noon, don't know what time. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So here we are. The word of God is being spoken. The word of God is being made available to these people. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood these other gentlemen. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That was an attitude of respect in the lands and times of the Bible, that they would stand when the word of God was being spoken. And when a man was giving his opinion, they would sit down. They would stand. Verse 7, 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What's happened here? All that's happened so far, words have been made known to these people. Words spoken. That's it. Just words coming forth from the word of God to the people. They're bowing their faces to the ground. They're worshiping. And also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and these guys caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They started crying. Words spoken, entrance of thy words. It showed them where their thinking had been wrong. And they cried. They hadn't heard this before for a long time. The word of God came in. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. Why were they grieved? They hadn't heard it. It brought things up in their minds they hadn't heard for a long, thought about for a long time. The word of God entered, and it changed their thinking. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. What a blessing. Look at Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah 36. Yeah. So you always have an option. The Word of God comes in, it's made known, the reaction is up to you and to me. The Word of God is spoken, it's up to you and it's up to me. And you know, you see both cases. You know, I'm sure we've witnessed the Word of God to people. You see both cases. You know, some people let the Word of God enter, some don't. Jeremiah 36:1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. So we know this is words that are coming from God, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So he's giving them information that should they take heed to it, they will be blessed. Verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, so he was in prison, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the ears in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah, which are the words of God, in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the big higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand and came on to see. The word of God is making its way through the palace. It's being spoken. It's being made known. People are hearing, and they're saying, oh man, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Verse 15. And they said unto him, sit down and read it in our ears. So they want to hear it. So Baruch read it in their ears. And it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and the other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. They heard it, and they were worried because, oh my goodness, you know, the word came in, and it actually affected their thinking. They said, surely the king must hear these words. Verse 17, and they asked Baruch, and saying, well, how'd you get this stuff? Verse 18, then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king unto the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. The king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king. So the king is now having the opportunity to hear words that come from God. and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. And the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife. Sounds a little bit different than those people who heard Ezra the scribe speak God's word after the building of the wall. They wept. They cried. They bowed. They reverenced God. And there was great joy because of what they had heard. Here, the king hears it. And what does he do? He takes his knife and he rips it to shreds. Rips it to shreds and casts it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. The first people who heard it as it was making its way through the palace were afraid. They heard it. They go, "We got a king should hear this because this is important." Yet these guys, the kings and princes, were not afraid. They didn't care about God. This response is very common to the kind of response much of the world has towards the word of God. They mock it, they make fun of it, they say it's full of myths and forgeries, and they have no use for it whatsoever. Just like this king who took his knife, shred the documents, and threw them into the fire. Neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. You know, and later on, you see these guys tried to make intercession. Don't do that, king. And he didn't care. He just ripped it to shreds with a knife. And that's, by and large, how most of God's word is treated by people these days. We need to learn to treat God's word the way those people in Ezra did. We need to let it enter. We need to let it come into our minds. Let it abide. Let it change and remove the dirt that might be there. So our thinking gets aligned with what the Word of God says, so we can see those promises that we have not yet seen come to pass in our lives. We'll close in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. Jesus Christ was the Word in the flesh. He said, "I always do those things that please the Father." He always spoke God's Word. He was the living Word. In Acts 4:1, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Here they just talked about Jesus Christ and how God would raise a prophet like Moses and all that. And when they heard these words, they became grieved. Verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that there were rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, these guys are just fishermen. They have never learned anything. They're not educated. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, what was it that they got from Jesus Christ? What did he Didn't he tell them, I have given you my word? He gave them the word. The words, they let the word of God come into their minds. And guess what? All of a sudden, they were saying the same things that Jesus Christ was saying. They got born again of God's Spirit. We know that in Pentecost. They listened to his words. And then here they are speaking words out. Although they're saying, you're supposed to be unlearned and ignorant. You don't know anything. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. They knew what to say because God's word had come in. Jesus Christ is the living word. They allowed Christ in. Christ in them. And now they were speaking words out and they're saying, wow, these guys have been with Jesus. You know, did Jesus Christ ever challenge people's thinking when he was here? Did he? You know, I have water that if you drink this water, you're never going to thirst again. Oh, what kind of water is this? I'll give me some of that water. You know, Nicodemus, remember he came to him by night? He was afraid. And, you know, he started a conversation, and Jesus Christ takes it a whole other level and says, you know, don't you know you've got to be born again? Always raising them up to the level of God's word. Even when they were about to receive Holy Spirit, they said, you know, they thought that some political move was going to take place and Israel's kingdom was going to be restored. And he said, no, it's not that right now. Just when God does that, don't you worry about it. But you're about to receive power. You see, he's always challenging their thinking. That's the word of God coming in, letting the word challenge our thinking to the point that we replace the dirt that we are thinking that is contrary to God's word and replace it with the word of God. Remember Paul on the ship? He had given up all hope. Remember, they hadn't seen sun or moon or night for days, and they'd given up all hope that they were going to live. The Lord appeared to him and said, don't you worry. You know, not only are you saved, but everybody else with you is also going to be saved. And what did he say? I believe God. Words came in, just words. They were just words. You see how, you know, that case, he didn't put a big umbrella over the ship so the wind and water wasn't getting on them anymore, and he didn't give them a motorboat so they immediately appeared on. There was nothing. He just gave them some words. He says, Paul, God's going to protect you, not only you, but everybody else with you. And he says, I believe God. Totally changed. Everything changed because he allowed words to enter into his mind that were from God. You know, we have this word right here. This is God's word. We let these things enter our mind and it will give us understanding. It will give us light, and if we abide in it and think about it and go to it, it will allow that dirt to be removed from our minds and allow us to walk with him. Are we willing to let Jesus Christ change our thinking, or are we always keeping a penknife in our back pocket for areas that we just don't want to change our thinking? It's up to each one of us to know. We don't know. I mean, I can't speak for you. Can't speak for me. Right? Do I believe by his stripes I was healed? Or do I trust doctors, medicines, flu shots, or whatever first? What do I trust? Nothing wrong with doctors, medicine. No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, where does my trust lie? Is it in the stripes of Jesus Christ first and foremost, or do I immediately, automatically put my trust in those other things first? Is that what I'm doing? You know, Dale, you stole part of my teaching today. I was going to say, am I going to allow anxiety in, or am I going to pray with thanksgiving to God and let his peace rule my heart? What am I going to do? Do I have my penknife ready when anxiety comes, or do I immediately pray with thanksgiving to God and let his peace reign in my heart? What is it that I do? Husbands, love your wives, it says. Right? Do I say, I will if she will? Do I have my penknife ready? Or do I just love my wife because God tells me to? You know, it permeates all areas of my life. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do I believe that? Or do I have my penknife ready and I'd rather receive than give anything? You know, what is it? And then, you know, and we can go on and on and on and on of the promises that are there in God's word, the light that is there in God's word. it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Let's let his word come in, and let's let it abide, and let's let it change our thinking to line up with what God wants us to think, and so that we can enjoy the joy and strength and blessings that God would have us to enjoy. So, entrance of thy words.